Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 8, Day 3. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about John 16, 1 through 15. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/John Week 8. Thanks for joining me today on the podcast. I encourage all my listeners to read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks as we go through this. You really will be amazed at the benefits of repetition that you get from this. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? Give us revelation of you, Jesus. We want to know you more. In your name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into John. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is John 16, verse 1. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. So let's pause right there. Jesus starts off this passage by saying, I'm telling you all this. I've told you all that he's told us in chapter 15 about the persecution and the Holy Spirit, and he's telling us some more. He's reiterating what he already said in chapter 15. And he's telling us that, you know, all of these things, he's warning us about them so that we won't fall away. That's an amazing statement. Basically, that says to me that it would be possible for us to fall away if we were not aware of these things, if we were not cognizant of them, if we're not looking and watching and taking precautions against that. This is serious. This is heavy, what he's saying here. Now, I don't want to get into a debate over once saved, always saved, or anything like that. I want to take the warning for what it is. And he's saying that this is heavy. This is important. I'm telling you this so you won't fall away. I'm telling you this so that you won't get caught up in anything else that's going on and not pay attention. So that these things won't trouble your heart. The persecution that's coming could be so intense that you'll say, I've had enough of this. I don't want Jesus anymore. We have to understand that this life is temporary. This life is short. And what we're going to inherit for all eternity is so far greater than this. We have to keep that in mind. So they're going to throw us out of the synagogue, or in our cases, the public square. We'll be thrown out of levels of society, possibly, that we've enjoyed being in. And that's okay. God is greater. They'll kill us thinking that they're offering a service to God. Now think about that. We're talking about religious people here, actually physically killing other people, thinking they're offering God a service. That's a level of depravity that in the United States we've either never seen or rarely seen. Throughout human history, it's happened quite a lot. This has definitely come true. We're not currently experiencing this, but this is a warning to all believers throughout history. It's great when this doesn't happen. It's great when generations have freedom from this kind of hatred, this kind of hatred for God. But we can't expect it to last forever. So we have to prepare our hearts, know that this could happen to us, and it's okay. Because we will spend eternity with God. Our sins are forgiven. There's nothing greater than that. They'll do these things because they haven't known the Father or Jesus. He's telling us this in advance so that when the time comes, we'll remember that he warned us. Now, this is something I've experienced personally on many occasions, that when the Lord tells you something specifically, when he tells you something with clarity ahead of time, it's probably because you needed to know it, to know that it was God, because there's so many things that can come up and cause us to question our faith. I mean, when people hate us and want to kill us, it causes us to say, oh my gosh, am I in the wrong? Am I doing something wrong here? I must be. Like, why would they hate me? unless I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about Jesus. I don't know. All of these things, they swirl in our head when we're persecuted. When people hate us, all these things swirl around in our head. And he's telling us up front, hey, listen, it's not you. It's not you. It's because they hate me. They will take it out on you. So don't think it's you. Don't fall away. Don't renounce my name because you think you've believed in something wrong or done something wrong. I'm telling you now so you'll know this is going to happen. This is a great grace to us. When the world hates you, it's because they hate me, not because you're doing something wrong. So don't fall away. Don't give up. Jesus tells the people in Revelation, is just hold on for a little while longer. I'm coming. I'm coming. Back to the passage. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So let's pause there for just a second. Jesus tells us something amazing here. He tells us that it's better that he goes away. It was better for them, and it's better for us, that Jesus isn't physically present with them anymore, or physically present with us, so that the Holy Spirit would come. He's saying the Holy Spirit won't come until I go away. That's the plan. For whatever reason, that's the way God decided for this to work. And so he says, the Holy Spirit's not coming unless I go away. Think about that. Ponder on that for just a minute. Jesus just told us that it's better for him to not be physically with us. The Holy Spirit that we don't see, we can't touch. This Holy Spirit, he says it's better for the Holy Spirit to be with you than for me to physically be with you. That is a dramatic statement. That is a powerful statement of the Holy Spirit's testimony and power in our lives. That having the Holy Spirit within our hearts, within ourselves, is better for us than having Jesus physically with us. Let that sink in. That is a huge statement. And then I think it's interesting what the Holy Spirit testifies to. Through us, the Holy Spirit will testify through us to the world about three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Aren't those three things that are so interesting for Jesus to say? Why didn't Jesus say that the Holy Spirit would testify to God's great love, or that the Holy Spirit would testify to the mighty works of Jesus? No, he says that the Holy Spirit will prove to the world why they're in the wrong because of these three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Do you see now why things can be so hard for us if we toe the line of Jesus' testimony? These are not the nice things that everyone wants to hear. He's saying that the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The problem with sin is that we don't want our sin. We don't want our darkness to be exposed. We want to keep wallowing in it. Like Paul says, it's fun for a season. We want to try and soak up every bit of that fun, even when it's not fun anymore. We want to try and keep reveling in it. We don't want people to expose it. We don't want the Holy Spirit or God or any other person to expose it. We want to hold on to it. Sinful hearts, yours and mine, the human nature, we are self-righteous. We self-justify ourselves. We want to make excuses for our sin. Well, you know, what I do is not really as bad as what that guy. I mean, I'm not a murderer. I haven't cheated on my wife. You know, I haven't cheated on my taxes this year. I mean, you know, we'll come up with all these reasons why we're not that bad. We're actually pretty okay. You know, there's other people who are worse than us, and so we're really just kind of okay. We find ways to justify ourselves. We don't want to accept that we're unrighteous and that we need the righteousness of someone else in our lives. We want to convince ourselves and everyone else that we are self-righteous. And the last thing is, sinful hearts don't want to be judged. We want to do the judging. We want to judge others. We feel like if we can judge others, if we can kind of keep everyone at an arm's length and we do the judging of other people, then we can kind of put off their ability to judge us, or that we can keep God from judging us. We don't want to accept God as our judge. That's offensive. That's offensive to have anyone judge us. And to have God judge us, that's offensive to our hearts, to our human nature. But he's saying here, the Holy Spirit, that's his job, is to come and convict people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And Jesus says something interesting here, and he says, judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. He's saying Satan is the prince of this world. He's saying that Satan stands condemned. And all those who ally with Satan will stand condemned with him by God. You know, a lot of times we look at eternity, we look at salvation as saying a prayer or following some set of codes or something like that. When we look at Scripture, we look at John, Revelation, other passages, really our faith in God is not so much what we say, it's where our allegiance is. Salvation is through allegiance. Do we ally with God or do we ally with Satan? Do we ally with the righteous judge who will forgive our sins? Or do we ally with the rebellious one who stands for destruction and mayhem, pain, suffering, hate? Where is our heart's allegiance? Is it with God or is it with this world? If it's with this world, the prince of this world stands condemned and we will stand condemned with him. If our allegiance is to God, we're already not condemned. Verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So again, here, Jesus is emphasizing the power and the necessity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He'll tell us the future. He'll tell us what's coming. He'll give us a prophetic spirit, is what he's saying. He'll teach us all truth. That's powerful. That is so powerful. We cannot minimize the work, or we can't overemphasize the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how powerful it is, how much we need him. And he's saying that right here. He's saying we need him. So ask for him. I encourage you, ask for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Ask for him to come and make these things known to you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Seek him out and ask for him. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm so glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review for me on iTunes, and I'd love to hear from you on my Facebook page. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.